Unlocking potential, one dream at a time, on the CJ Moneyway Show.
Sit back and relax. You're listening to the Moneyway Show.
What's up, my good people? Can you imagine a world where every person you meet has an extraordinary story to tell? Well, welcome to the CJ Moneyway Show, the podcast that brings those stories right to your ears. And I'm your host, CJ Moneyway. And I'm on a mission to discover the extraordinary in everyday life. You'll hear heartfelt, real-life stories from individuals who have formed their own path, shattered stereotypes, and transformed their personal challenges into becoming a driving force for positive change. On the CJ Moneyway Show, we dive into the cultural issues and celebrate the uniqueness of diverse communities. But that's not all. Join us as we journey into the realm of self-help, personal growth, engaging with experts and everyday heroes alike to inspire, enlighten, and entertain. Get ready to be moved, to be inspired, and to discover the untold stories that surround us every day. This is the CJ Moneyway Show, unveiling the extraordinary within the ordinary. So what you waiting for? Dive in, join us, and become part of our community of storytellers, and welcome to the CJ Moneyway Show.
Welcome, my good people. Welcome to the CJ Moneyway Show. And I'm with your host, CJ Moneyway. Let's get it.
What's up, my good people? Welcome to the CJ Moneyway Show. I'm your host, CJ Moneyway. Today, I got my girl D in the house. Hey, want to tell us a little about, you know, your roles every Wednesday night, you know. So, how did you come about that, and what inspired you to? Hey, what's your name, and where you from, baby?
Okay, I'm Danella Jones. I'm from Gary, Indiana. President of Rosa Sharon Prayer Ministry and President of Rosa Sharon Community Development Project, which is a entity of Rosa Sharon Prayer Ministry.
Okay, okay. So, like, the prayer ministry, you know, so how did you come about, you know, how did that come about when you began praying online, on Facebook, every Wednesday? You know, tell us about that.
The Rosa Sharon Prayer Ministry was birthed for July 15th, 2003 by my mother. So my mother is the one who originated the Rosa Sharon Prayer Ministry, and we met in her home every Saturday. And then when she passed, I just had to take the baton over. I had gave up on it, and like I didn't want to do no ministry because I thought we were supposed to do it together. Mm-hmm. But as they say, when you try to throw the towel back to God, he throw it right back.
So you got work to do.
I wanted in my home before COVID, like every Wednesday, people come to my home. I lived in Concord, but then after I got out the hospital, that's when I decided to do live. So I've been going live for, it'll be 2 years, January the 4th.
Okay.
January 4th, yep.
Okay, you know, I've tuned in a few times. I hear you on there, you know, getting that word in. So I hope you give us one today before we leave off of here. But, So, you know, the thing that you're doing in the community, you know, I see that too. So can you touch up on that a little bit? Like the things that, you know, like the
The Community Development Project. Basically, I had, for years, I just had this vision to see Gary prosper. So when I was living in Indianapolis, before I had my conversion, I went to a lot of grant conferences down there, and it was just saying how a lot of money is available and sitting waiting for areas like ours, but nobody is touching it. So this vision been in the making for a long time, and it's just, I mean, I was helping people like my cousin, I don't know if you know my cousin Anton, his brother Fontaine. I helped him get his poetry copy written and everything, and I was just doing it just because I wanted to do it. I wasn't really trying to do it as a business, but then the more needed I see that people need help with businesses, I decided to step out and just go ahead. And I was trying to get grants for myself. And then as I was trying to get them, they was asking for a business address. So I came out of my basement, and then I've had 504 Broadway. I've been there for a year.
Okay. Okay. That's what's up. So like, you know, and this is one thing that I ask everybody that comes on, especially that's from, you know, Gary, where we from. Like, what is it growing up in the city of Gary that built you, that made you into the person that you are today?
Well, trauma. We went through a lot as a kid, but one of my things is, and I have to be transparent right now, mm-hmm. I was hard-headed, but one of my issues was about my mother kept us in church a lot. Mm-hmm. And I felt, and it, I mean, I understand now being an adult that when you're living by faith, you don't know how the next dollar coming. But I always felt like, why is she struggling? And she served God. We at church on Sunday, Monday, Wednesday. She's there Friday for the phone ministry. And it always seemed to me as a kid that she was struggling to make ends meet.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always been different. I always felt like I had the entrepreneurial spirit. Every time they had fundraisers at school, I was on them. My sisters threw them to the side. But it was just like I wanted something different. So I wanted to get my mother a restaurant because she was a good cook. Now, she did cooking on the side, but I wanted her to do it, you know, on a larger scale.
Okay.
But it didn't happen. So I tried to do it my way. It's just that simple. I got caught up with the wrong crowd, selling the drugs, trying to get her a restaurant, and end up trapped for 15 years. I did get a restaurant when I came back here, but I was trapped. So now that I'm on the other side, I think that we are filled with a city of visionaries and we are filled with a city of entrepreneurs who fall into the wrong environment and they don't feel like it's no help.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. And you ain't even got to be selling drugs or to do that. But people who sell drugs are entrepreneurs that are just using their gift for the wrong reason. Mm-hmm. I mean, for the wrong person, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. The wrong side, like you say.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Got the mindset, got the fortitude. Yeah. You know, so it's a hustle. And, you know, even running a business, you know, it's a mindset, you know, and it's a grind and it's a hustle, you know. All about networking, getting clientele and things of that nature. That's the same way that we do in the streets, you know. So yeah. Same hustle, just a different way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I guess the next phase is, you know, since you continue doing the things that your mother have inspired you to do. So the next thing is you're going to have to get that restaurant with a name on it, huh?
Yeah, that's in the making. We actually, me and my niece talking about that.
Okay.
So well, that's in the making. Like, our whole family really can cook. So everybody got a specialty. So we going to, you know, she wanted to be grandma's place. So we that's in the making, as a matter of fact.
That's a nice title right there. You know, I like that. So, you know, as far as the word and everything and, you know, as far as the message, if you had a message right now to give to somebody or to give to the people, what would that message be?
If I had a message right now to give to the people, it would be that signs, wonders, and miracles are real.
Mm-hmm.
And everything I've learned has been on personal experience. And it's because he's a miracle-working God, and not to give up. Because I ain't gonna even lie. Recently, I'm just like, Lord is praying, and prayer is real. Prayer is your lifeline to connect every dot in your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have that prayer life and that personal relationship with him, you will fall for anything.
Yeah, I get it. And like you say, prayer, and if you don't have that connection, I think I was talking to somebody else about this not too long ago. You know, I was reading the book of Genesis, chapter 3, and I was, you know, going towards something that God had put on the Holy Spirit had put on my spirit for a while, so I was just going back to read over it. And I got to the part where it say, and the voice of God was walking in the cool of the day, in the garden, you know, this one he was kind of mm-hmm. looking for Adam and Eve, and they hid themselves. I say, you know, a lot of times we get that misconstrued because, you know, when we hear it, it seems like it's saying that God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, but it said that his voice was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And so I have a partner where he always say that God told me this and God told me this and God told me this. So after a while, I got a little fed up with it. I say, nah, you telling yourself that, you know, because you have to have a relationship with God in order for God to be talking to you. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like You got to know that voice. And so, although Adam and Eve did what they did, they still knew the voice of God because they had a relationship with God, you know? And so, and that's like, you know, like what you said earlier, that your mother was taking you to church Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Fridays. So it's that thing of, you know, we go back to the book of Proverbs where it say that raise up a child in the way that they should go. And when they get older, they won't depart from it, you know. And as you said and alluded to, you say, well, I started doing this and I was hanging out with the wrong crowd. I left that behind. But because I did, you know, same story, did the same thing. Once I got to a certain age, hey, I had to make my own decision on if I can go or not. I chose not to go. And it exploded on me. You know what I'm saying? But thank God for you, for myself, for anybody else that's listening, that we had mothers, grandmothers, fathers, grandfathers that prayed us through.
Yes, that is so important. I was just, if it weren't for her prayers, and my mother always was a prayer woman, but we didn't understand. Like, we had a lot of trauma, and she would be on her knees. We'd be like, what? Is you going to do something? You going to do something? I mean, anything that happened to us, like, she got to praying. And what happened with me is, when I was young, I loved the Lord, and I used to go with my mother places, and I was attracted to the Lord then. But then when stuff started happening, and then I got stabbed when I was a freshman, I turned my back on God, like consciously, like, okay, I didn't understand why I had to be the scapegoat. Mm-hmm. And then what's crazy is I'm still the scapegoat for my family, even as today, like, even as a child, because if anybody else in the house would have got the blade, they would have died. Mm. Only reason why I was saved, because it was an inch away from my heart, and the fat around my heart is what saved my life. Mm. And that's to help deliver me from low self-esteem, because I had a low self-esteem about being heavy until then. Like, okay, the doctor told my mom, if it wasn't for her weight, anybody else in the house would have died from that kind of, you know, wound. Mm. So as a child, a teenager, I should have been praising God for saving my life, but I didn't. I mean, I just have to keep it real, because I know me. I got mad at him because I feel like, why did I get it? And I wasn't even, like, in the streets, or my sister's boyfriend is the ones who did the home invasion. They was from Cabrini Green. I did nothing, but how did I get, you know, stabbed? But, you know, now that I know better, I'm older, I know better, but if I was the scapegoat for them, because like you said, anybody else, all them little, skinny, my mama wasn't heavy, even her husband was small. So, but he said, if anybody else would have caught that blade, I would have died, you know, or they would have died. So that's when my down spiral hit, really. That's when the devil really came in, really, when I turned my back on God. God never left me, because even in the streets, he was still with me, but I left him.
We'll be right back.
Hey, what's going on? It's your boy CJ Moneyway. I appreciate you rocking with the Moneyway Show. Hey, if you listen to me on Spotify, Apple, Buzzsprout, whatever platform that you may be listening to the Moneyway Show on, once you drop your boy a review, share it with your friends. You know, anything and everything, all support is appreciated. The Moneyway love you guys. I appreciate you rocking with me. Follow me on my YouTube channel. All my platforms, man, social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you know, hit me up. All my links are in the show notes. Hey, I appreciate you guys for rocking with your boy. Be on the lookout for some things coming up that I got coming up pretty soon. I'll tune you into it a little later. Peace.
So I always knew, even when I was out there, been robbed 8 times at gunpoint. Hey, went through a lot, but I always thought, because my mama taught me, oh, her prayers has covered me. And then it came to that time when I had to make a choice, like you just said.
Yeah.
You gotta choose. You can't be just think you're gonna survive off your mama's prayers. Nah. And she can pray all she wants, but you still have a responsibility to make that choice. Whether you're gonna serve him or no.
Hey, you know, it's funny that you said that, because earlier today, the Holy Spirit put on, you know, I don't know why, but you know how it is at times. And it say that when Jesus healed the man from blindness, and they came to the parents, and they asked the parents, like,
You know, did was he blind from birth? And they say, hey, they say, look, he of age. He can speak for himself. And so, like, that's like what you said. At a certain point in your life, you got to make that conscious decision for yourself. Mama can't get you to heaven. Daddy can't get you to heaven. The Bible tells us that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, and we will all, you know, we all gonna have to get to that day where we gonna know that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, so that's your own testament. It's what you do, not what your mama did, not what your daddy did, not what your brother did. It's what you do and what you take back to the Father that's gonna matter.
Yeah, and I really believe until you have that encounter, all the rest is just tradition, and I'm going to church because my mama took me to church. Mm-hmm. You have to have your own, you have to have an encounter with him, because how are you going to trust somebody you don't know?
Mm-hmm.
You got to know him to trust him. That's the one thing. And it's a journey. It's not going to happen overnight.
Oh, no.
But even when I had my experience and I came to him, it's 22 years ago. Now, things he spoke to me then is getting ready to come to pass now. Mm-hmm. But I had to get to know him, especially when it's faith. It's hard to believe in something you can't see when you come from our background. Mm-hmm. That's just the truth.
Oh, yeah.
Because we want to see CC. We want to see the money. We want to see how this is going to go. And it's hard to believe. I think that's the hardest thing, and to believe in the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get to know him, once you done had experience with him and you done seen him do this and do that, it's easy to rest. Not saying I ain't gonna never have no problems again, but now that I know that who he is,
mm-hmm.
he got all authority, all power. He called me before I even came out of my mama's womb. Yeah. So he already knew what he had prepared for me. Even when I was in the streets and the devil was trying to destroy me, God already knew my day to come out.
Yeah. He knew that day.
Right. Come on, we can't come to him unless he draws.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. He knew the day that he was going to draw you unto himself. Like, okay, enough is enough. You know, uh-huh. Now it's time to reel you in and put you on that mission.
You choose this day who you're going to serve.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
The day I got saved, it was July 15, 2001. I never forget, because it was almost like a Paul experience, literally. I mean, some church people say, oh, the devil cover for his own, but I might have been serving the devil, but I wasn't his.
Mm-hmm.
But I was sitting at a table with one of my guys with some drone. And I had already went through my experience. I had got robbed by a guy, and I wasn't doing nothing. I was going to church in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not tell nobody what was my next move, because I had already had an experience that was bad. But I was sitting at the table with my guy. That was Black Expo weekend. We was finna get paid.
Mm-hmm.
I had a connect. And my mother called me at 8 o'clock in the morning. She said, I don't know what you're doing, but God woke me up and told me to call you and tell you whatever you're thinking about doing, you're going to die this time.
Mm.
And I knew it couldn't have been her, because I had found out how she knew all my business was from my sister. So I was very careful not to tell nobody what was my next move.
Mm-hmm.
When she said that was it. And that's when I gave up. I fell to my knees and I just started talking to him. I said, Lord, I don't want to do this. And I just started talking to him. That's when I had my experience with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, he said, you've been in the game trying to get one restaurant, and I'm trying to give you a chain of restaurants. And he just started ministering me right in front of the dope man. Mm. No joke. He looking at me like, if you're going to just be real, that's all he said. You know, and luckily, he could have been somebody that killed me, because he came on a plane with all this stuff from mm-hmm. Seattle, Washington.
Wow.
But his mother raised him in church. So he knew that I wasn't just losing my mind or nothing. He knew. And I'm like, I told him I quit. I can't do it. We had people lined up from here, from Anderson, Fort Wayne, waiting on this drove connect.
Mm.
And I said, I can't do it no more. I love my kids and I love my life. It ain't worth it. So I chose to suffer. Then, and I would have been, I had it budgeted where I would have been a millionaire in 6 months off of this deal.
Wow.
But when she called me and said that, that's another importance of having a parent who's connected to God. Because if she had no connection, I'm telling you, I had been fighting for 2 years, but when temptation come in your face, it ain't. It's easier said than done. Oh, turn it around and say, no, I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. I kept telling him, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. He called me like, I'm at the airport. Pick me up. Oh, man, Lord. How much the temptation came to my door, for real. Had I would have took that deal, it was July 15, 2001, I would have been getting drove coming from over the FedEx, through the planes, all that. It was right before 911. That was a real setup to destroy my future, my destiny, my purpose, all of it. So while I already knew, but when he had her call me, that's why I tell parents, just wait on it. Your kid will come in. My mother probably thought I was never going to turn. But hey, she called me that morning. That was it for me. I said, I quit. No. And then that's when I got my assignment, really, to play for African-American men to step up and be the kings. And that's what I've been praying 22 years. And I'm waiting to see it happen.
Yeah, you know,
I'm not prejudiced, but it's time for African-American men to shake off all these curses from slavery and all that and rise up to be the kings of the castle who they're supposed to be. And I'm just like, I'm happy about it.
That's a subject that some of me and a couple of other brothers we're going to talk about, because as I was talking to one of my boys the other day, and I, you know, we was talking, and I told him one of the problems is that men are out of position. We're out of position. It's the thought process. It's the way that we move in. It's the way that we live in. You know what I'm saying? Like you said something, and I was thinking about it when you said it. You say that he brought all this temptation to you. And so I know that the Bible say that temptation gonna come. You know, temptation, you know, that's all he going to do. He going to tempt. He tempted Jesus, you know, when they went on top of the, you know, on top of the city. Yeah. And Jesus had to tell him. And see, that's the difference. Jesus had to tell him. He said, look here, man don't eat by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So you got to know how to combat. So it's not the temptation, because the temptation going to come. And so what I heard from you is that the temptation was there, but I didn't yield to the temptation. That's the key. When we yield to the temptation, it's not the temptation that's a sin, it's yielding to it. And so that's where a lot of us today as men, you know, just people in general right now, but, you know, like you say, my main focus has been on men, because I got a little boy, I got boys, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so the future is theirs. And if you don't train them up in the way that they should go, or teach them certain things. And no, I haven't been the best, you know what I'm saying, father, the best parent, the best husband. I got issues. I've had problems, you know what I'm saying? But as I get older, you know, and I wish I could take some things back that I used to yield to, that I got involved in, but I couldn't. So what's done is done. And so only thing that you can control is what you do right now.
Right.
You know, so the yield, and so things that I used to yield to, I don't yield to them like I used to. It's certain things I can just let go. You know what I'm saying? And so that's like one of the main things I think men right now, we're yielding to too many things. Yeah. Like yielding to way too many things. You know what I'm saying? And so
you got to have the word to be strong, just like Jesus' example. He had the word. If he was the Son of God, he had to use the word.
Had to use the word.
And a lot of men don't want to get in that book and read. Women will, and they'll cry to God. Men think it's too macho for them to yield. He said, resist the devil and he will flee.
And he will flee.
You got to draw closer to God and resist the devil, so when he do come with temptations, you be strong enough in your spirit. That's why we got to build the spirit man up, because we can take care and go to the gym and yield so much to taking care of the outer. It's the inner man is what we ain't focusing on and we ain't building. You got to be built from the inside out. And that's the problem. But if the enemy want to tear our world down, who would he come to do it? The men is the foundation of the home. So if he get men to be dead in jail and the ones that there's only a few left, or if he get you to turn and want another man, or if the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's why women and children are out here without a covering.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back.
Joseph M. Wanted with the Christitutionalist Politics. Tune in for the upcoming episode for May 4, Issue Never the Issue, as well as guests Peter Serafin, Rosemary Downer, Don Gallade, Gista the Rapper, Cy Young, Jason Perry, and upcoming Jack Hagar, Andrew Thorpe King, Trent Rock, Ed Temple, Chris Morehouse, and more. Please tune in to Christitutionalist Politics. God bless.
So if you is covering your family, you doing A1 and 100, because there's so many fatherless babies out here. Now, in our family, the men are gone. Like, we had a real generational curse on most of my mother's grandkids' fathers are dead, like literally to gun violence. If they ain't dead, they was in jail for all of these kids' lives. So these children children is the ones hurting. That's why he's trying to come after this generation as the vulnerable. But God got a plan that he gonna turn this thing around. But that's the assignment against men, because see, if you can't get the men to stand up, the household is gone.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, even, and it's so much working against men. It's not just the relationships with the marriage, and it's the system. It's all kind of things, because really, welfare and all that is designed for the man not to be in the house.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The man is supposed to be taking care of the wife and the children. Yeah, we know women work and all of this, but the man is supposed to be positioned in a place of king. Mm-hmm. In his household, covering his household. Exactly. And then you get two together in a 3-4 code, you, your wife, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, you got something you're dealing with right there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, I mean,
you're dealing with right there.
And you know, on the flip side of it, like you say, you know, men, we have to be the covering of our families. And, you know, I tell, and I've told young women this too, you know, like I work with women, and a lot of times, I take, like, look, the younger women, and they become my little sisters. You know what I'm saying? Hey, little sis or whatever, because, you know, I'm the type of person, like you said earlier, I'm going to be transparent. You know what I'm saying? So being and going through what I have been through in life and knowing how men are, and I tell them in a minute, I say, look here, if a man ain't leading you, if he ain't leading you down the right path, if he ain't telling you the right things or whatever, hey, he ain't the one for you. Because if he can't lead himself, how he gonna lead you?
And the bone gonna lead the blind. They all both gonna follow the
dick. Hey, we know what biblical. It was the one where they opposed Moses, and the Bible say that the earth swallowed. I mean, and the earth opened up its mouth and it swallowed them whole. And it didn't just swallow the men that opposed Moses, but it swallowed up the whole families, you know what I'm saying? So there's mistakes that men can make, as choices as men that we can make that can be detrimental to our whole families, not just you, to your whole family. The same thing happened with Daniel when they threw him in the lion's den, and Daniel came out. And so what did it say? It say that they threw those who accused Daniel of praying three times a day, they threw them and their families in the lion's den. So there's things that we as men, that say, grid yourself. See, because, I take it like this, D. If you say grid ourselves, you know what I'm saying, with the breastplate of righteousness, you know, and so that when the day come that he began throwing these fiery darts at us, that we can resist, you know what I'm saying? And so that mean that if I'm standing in front of my family, and God standing in front of me, he protecting me, and the darts that's not getting to me, not getting to my family neither.
Come on now.
But
that's it.
I mean, that's what we got to get. But if I'm not standing behind God, then those darts that we talking about, they not only are destroying me.
You wide open for war. You wide open for your family to disintegrate, really. I mean, just keep it real, but...
And you keeping it real, because that's where we at. That's where we at. You know what I'm saying? That's where we at. It's so many of us. Like I say, you know, that's God. I hope you tune in to that when we do it. That's why we're going to be talking about too many men are out of position. Like, and you know, like what you said, one of the things that you said was, it's because we're not willing to submit. We're not willing. We don't want to be under another man's leadership. You know what I'm saying? Because we think that we got everything all figured out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like you and I, when we was coming up, was raised up in the church, got to a point, I ain't going to church no more. I got this. You can't tell, you know, we like Kanye West. You can't tell me nothing. Only to realize.
Right.
Only to realize when you got older and things just went kapoof that you ain't know a darn thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's what, you know, that's what I'm trying to use this platform, the Money Way Show, for, you know, to bring people on like you with a positive attitude and a positive outlook on life. You know, because like you say, we got to change some things.
And, yeah, that's it.
And if God, and if the people whom God has called forth in this hour to do things of this nature, like, you know, like me and you was talking earlier, everything can't happen behind those four walls.
No. That ain't what it, he said. Jesus said he came for the ones that seek. And though it is some sick in there, but he came to seek and save the lost.
Mm. And they was confused.
Jesus, he said he sent his only begotten son to die for the world, not for the ones that's already, we up in there going to get fed. We supposed to be in the military, in his army, and being sent back out in the highways and byways and propel them to come.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've seen and witnessed that when we do propel them to come, sometimes they get booted right back out, or nobody keep up with them, or nobody even tend to the people that's out there. We can't be judgmental. We got to, and I believe in my heart, this is why he's calling us that been out there and been through something that we really can't. I'm talking about me. I don't talk about other people. Even when I'm
with you. I'm with you. I'm with you.
Who can I really judge when he was with me and he didn't deliver me from so much that I can't talk about nobody.
Exactly.
I can't even judge you or say you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. Only thing I can offer is saying that God, I fell. It was a righteous woman. It was out there outside the church, and I was delivered from the streets, delivered from the religious church system, and now I'm planted in the kingdom to do my kingdom assignment,
mm-hmm.
to bring those out of the fire, that suffering. And what we need and what we're missing is real, true love. It's so simple. When he said it's simple, that's it. If you look at everybody, the hearts of men, we talked about this early, the hearts of, that's the whole thing. In Ezekiel, and this is Old Testament, when he said, I'm going to give you a new heart and a new spirit,
mm-hmm.
that's because we can't do this thing on our own.
Oh, yeah.
That's why you got to humble yourself. You can't be prideful. I can't be prideful. And nothing that God getting ready to bring me into, I don't care how high he take me, I'm still got to be humble before him. That's it. And it's I've seen harder for me, and you got a few men like you who surrender, but if you surrender as a man of God, baby, you just don't know how much he will begin to pull out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, all he's looking for is people to show his glory in. But nobody wants to move out the way because of selfishness. Mm-hmm. So many people so selfish. Even when you're a father and a mother and you don't want to move out the way for your children, that's still rooted in selfishness. Because
mm-hmm.
it ain't about us no more. We done that. It's about these babies now. I can't see the world keep continuing to go like it is. If nothing, and we don't get no intervention, I don't even want to be here. I'm just going to get real. Take me on up there with my mom and my daddy, because if we continue like this,
mm-hmm. You know, like you say, you know, you get to a point in life, everything is not about you. You know what I'm saying? And this is biblical, because even as David, you know, who mighty warrior, went out and fought all these battles, you know, God was before him, went out and fought all these battles. And when it came time to build the you know, the ark of the temple for God, God told him, say, no, you're not gonna do it. It's gonna be for you. He said, that's gonna be Solomon. You know what I'm saying? That's Solomon's job. Solomon gonna do it. And although all the battles that David fought, the Bible say that Solomon had peace around him through his whole reign. So a lot of things that we going through, and you said something earlier, and you know, making me think about it. So a lot of things that we went through, now we're sharing our experiences, not only for our children and our children, but we're putting this out here in the atmosphere for the masses because we don't want y'all to go through that. So we went through some stuff so that you don't have to go through.
Yeah, it's just like our ancestors sacrificed for us. We're doing the same thing right now. We're paving the way. We're sacrificing. We could be doing something different.
Exactly.
Honestly, I could be doing something different. I have degrees, been to school. I could be going to get, but I'm being obedient.
Man.
Obedient to death, to Danetta. I die daily. Hey. We increase so I may decrease. It ain't just for my kids. I want to see make change on a major scale. First of all, my heart is in my city. That's number one. When he said, go and would you feed my shit? Go to Jerusalem, Samaria. He was saying, start at your home front.
Mm-hmm.
Start in your city. Then move on to the state. Then move on out to the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Our decisions that we making now is opening the door for the Holy Spirit to come. Because all this stuff is prophesied already.
Mm-hmm.
We just got to line up with his will. And that's the number one word if I have for anybody for this season. All he wants us to do is line up with his will. And just to piggyback on, you talked about David. People talk about how David did this and David did that. But David was called a man after God on heart because when he fell, he did not do the same sin over. He took accountability for what he did. That's one other thing that I've noticed in the where our black men don't like to take accountability and responsibility. That is one of the biggest ones.
hey, hold that thought. Remember what I tell you about the book of Genesis and I went to the chapter 3?
Yeah.
So that's what I was looking for, right? Because I had been on this and this and that. And I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you say what you're going to say after this. But hold on. I was dealing with something. And he had been dealing with me about something. I said, Lord, show me what was going on in that time that's going on in this time. And so, you know how you meditate and you think, and he sent me back to the book of Genesis. You know, I stay in that book for some reason because he always wanted me to see something different. And this time I saw something different. And it say that when God had called out to him and they said they had hid themselves or whatever, and, you know, they was naked. And God said, well, how you know you're naked? And so, you know, he went on. And so he said, well, you ate from the tree? And Adam said, it was this woman that you gave me.
He put the blame on me.
But just like what you just said, God gave me my answer. And it's funny that you said that. I said, wow. Adam was the first man not to take accountability for his own action. And then when he revealed it to me, just like what you just said, that's what it brought up to me. And today, men are doing the same thing. We're not taking accountability for our own action. I always want to blame somebody else.
The biggest thing, that's the one thing that gets you closer to God, if you ask me, because if you did, you don't have to. That's why it say examine yourself. When you examine yourself and say, Lord, I did this. Mm-hmm. I did. That's why you have to keep a repentant life. Because he said, if you confess your sin, if you don't want to take accountability and responsibility for your sin, how is he going to forgive you for it if you're still in denial? Or if you blaming it on somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
Or you blaming your life on this woman you gave me? Just blaming my wife. If it wasn't for her, I would be further. No, we have to take accountability and responsibility for our own action. Even when people do stuff to us, you allow that. I have to even say, Lord, I take responsibility for anything anybody do with me because they only could do what I allow. But I want to share one thing since you hit on Genesis, though, that he revealed to me that may be small to somebody else. But, you know, we've been reading that Genesis 1, 2, before Adam came, when he said, let us make man in our image, and he gave them dominion and authority. And that I got to two of them. I said, wait a minute, we had authority and dominion before Adam was even here. I said, wait. So that means his spirit was first before his flesh body, even before he blew the dust in him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, let them have dominion. I'm like, oh, come on. So he had already ordered dominion for the man. That's why he probably got you in Genesis, because he's taking us back to the original plan that he had before Adam fell.
Mm-hmm.
That's why spirit, he said, those will be led by the spirit of God is the sons of God.
Mm.
Because when you led by the spirit, he's delivering you from that Adam nature.
Mm.
When one man came disobedience, but when one man came obedience for all of us.
For all of us. Yep.
Come on now. We sit in the righteousness of Jesus Christ with dominion and power and sitting in his stead, because he said, your righteousness is not even of you, it's of me.
Mm.
And I said, wow. That's something.
Wow.
And I read that, I said, wait a minute. How you going to say, let us make man male and female? Wasn't even no male or female there yet.
Mm.
But he was talking spiritual.
Mm.
That's why spirit first. That's why you must be born again, because you got to be born by the spirit. And that's why we got to follow Jesus' example, because just like that's why he came here to show us how to do it, because we have to, we don't have to go up on the cross and get nails in our hands no more, but we have to die daily to our flesh.
Mm-hmm.
More we die, the more the Holy Spirit can pour on us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he said, pick up your cross and follow me. So we just following his example.
Mm-hmm.
But we, most people are still stuck in Adam's. They still stuck in the Adam, and that's why it's don't want to take responsibility. Don't when our men realize who they are called to be before the foundation of the world, and you have dominion and power over the family, over your wife. He had so much power. When the woman came out, he said, "Whoa, man! Come on, man. Come on now." God is not trying to punish us saying don't do this, don't do that. When you find out his love, he trying to show you the way so he can display his power through you.
Mm-hmm.
So he can display his power through your family, because when he threw it through your family, you glorifying God, that's the start. That's why he attacked family more than he attacked anything else, because mm-hmm. the family was here first before the church even got here.
Yeah. And from the first family until now, it's always been issues with families. Because that's what the enemy, that was his first attack, was on the family. You know what I'm saying? Man and woman. That was his first plan when he got them on that tree, you know. And so, you know, that's another thing. But, you know, yeah, man. Hey, power and dominion, you got me on that one. You know what I'm saying? And going back to what we're living in our... And our Adams,
you got that. Step into your dominion. You no longer after Adam. Let's go back to Eden. You spirit first, then flesh. Your spirit supposed to control your flesh. Your spirit control everything about you. Your blessings is in the spirit. It's mm-hmm. coming out of the spirit first. Then it's going to manifest down here on earth.
Mm. Like when you said that, you was making me think, because you said something earlier about the spirit and how spirits are dormant, you know what I'm saying? Because we're not feeding the spirit. So like Job said that your word esteems me more than my necessary foods, you know? And so it's not the natural eating, it's the spiritual eating that we lack it. The Bible tells us too, it say that having a form of godliness.
And denying the power.
But denying the power's there. You know, here it is. The spirit of God, the power of God is dwelling in us, ready to come out and be, to lead us to, like you said earlier, our assignments. And then our assignments leading us to our purpose, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Assignment and purpose, two different things, you know what I'm saying? I mean, same realm, but two different things. You know what I'm saying? We got assignments, and then you got a purpose. You know, you got a purpose. Like assignment, like your assignment can be to have 20 women that comes on the road show on Wednesday night and become saved. You know what I'm saying? But your purpose is something totally different. You know what I'm saying? That was your assignment, because assignments, just like homework back in school, they come and go. But your purpose gonna last. They change. Your assignments change. Your purpose gonna stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And once you tap into your purpose, see, you know, you said something earlier, and this is a thing too. The Bible say too that seek ye first the kingdom of God. And
mm-hmm. everything else gonna be added after.
It's gonna be added to it. We're doing things backwards. We're trying to add the things and then say, oh, well, if I get my life right, once I get my life together, this and that, then I start going to church. No, that's not what he said. That ain't what he said. See, we want to do things the way we want to do it and not things according to his word.
Yeah, and that's deception, actually. It's self-deception and it's deceiving because really, that's funny you said that because I said that to the Lord one day. I said, Lord, it seemed like that you get in my life together. It seemed like I've been doing this upside down. I mean, I'm like, it seemed like he getting me planted in his kingdom. Material things is not what I'm praising God for. That's what I, my old man said. It's about the things in the spirit that he's doing, like, wow. And he mean that. If you seek his kingdom, you in the kingdom is God's domain. He takes care of you. That's why he said we got to come like little children. Because we can't be too haughty, want to do this one, because he wants to. When you in the kingdom, he the king. And he taking care of you. Man, male and female.
Male and female. Say.
It ain't just, we all need him. Not just a woman need him. No. The man need him. That's one scripture to me that the church don't, they don't divide it right. When he said, that's all you hear is, why ain't supposed to submit to your husband? Why ain't supposed to submit to your husband? And I don't have a problem with that. But it says right before that is, husbands, submit yourself to Christ. Love your wives like Christ loved the church. Then she shall submit as unto the Lord. That's it. But they missed that problem. And then you got so many women that's out here want to be independent. That's not the way to go either.
But
the truth is, most of us been forced to that. But it's going, it's like in the book of Acts, and it said the apostles turned the world right side up. That's what we need now. It's just that simple. We've been in the wrong way so long, it's going to take a group. And it ain't got to be no big group. He started with 12. So, and they turned the world upside
down. Yeah.
That's what it's time for.
Yeah.
Because we all, it's so much deception. It's so much darkness. But my thing is, if I'm reading the right Bible, and I don't know, I was talking to my niece, and I said, if it says, we're supposed to have power. Why do we feel like we're getting crunched up like little roaches? I'm just keeping it real. It seems like the enemy winning sometimes. And I say it seems because I know he ain't. But sometimes it do appear like, man. But see, the battle is in the spirit realm. That's why you got to have that prayer. And yes, you got to, people need to be educated on it because I've had little things people say, anybody can pray. You got to know what you're talking about.
Hey.
You got to know about how you can decree and declare. Only kings and queens can decree and declare so it can be established. You have to get to a certain place where you got authority down here on this earth for real.
Man, you know, like you say, you know, that's a big part of what's wrong, too, is that we don't understand what spiritual warfare is. See, sometimes you're going through stuff, and so we looking at it in the natural. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I can't. No, it's a spiritual battle going on that we have no clue about what's going on in this heavenly realm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, when you go back and you think about, was that Daniel? Well, he prayed and God had answered his prayer as soon as he heard it, and the angel Gabriel was coming to release the prayer, but he got into a battle in the spiritual realm, and then the archangel Michael had to come and get him through. You know, and so that's a lot of things with us. It's like what you say, sometimes we go through things and we start doubting certain things because the enemy does not want you to get what God has already sent down. And so it's a battle going on around you and you don't even know it. You don't even know why you're going through this. You just going through life, ding, 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 ding. It's a straight battle that God is fighting for your life right now. And you don't even know it.
And we said, no, and it just happened. No, it ain't just happened. It's something blocking. See, what the thing is, we are free. When we accept Christ, we are free. It's not the devil we fight. It's our own self. He can't even pluck us. If the Bible says he can't pluck us out of God's hand, we are the apple of his eye. He can only get us to try to destroy ourselves because of our ignorance. He can't do that. It said Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. But if you still ignorant and you don't know that you got power over this joker, you're going to keep living a defeated life. And I refuse to keep living like that. I want to see all right performance happen down here on earth. I know why I got up there. Mm-hmm. It's time for manifestation, because it say when the kingdom come, it ain't just coming with word and deed, but manifestation, demonstration of what we supposed to have down here. And it's not enough of us doing that, because church really is preparing us for heaven, and it's kind of setting us up a little bit. I'm just got to put it out there, because only my is setting us up to think heaven, but not. What, okay, we could, while we thinking about going to heaven, what about right down here where the enemy is beating us on top of the head? We ain't got none. Our neighborhoods going down. Our children getting killed. About a day. I mean, they can't go outside and jump double dutch and play ball like we used to. Okay, we could keep thinking heaven bound, but I'm talking about while we living down on here, we supposed to have dominion and authority, mm-hmm, right on this earth.
Yeah, yeah.
If he said we have dominion, subdue, overtake. Matter of fact, that's that song me and Curtis made. It talked about subduing the enemy. Because, and now somebody questioned me the other day, well, didn't it say the devil owned down here? I said, no, that's not what the word say. We ain't going to run it. No. He said he was the prince of the power of this world. Mm-hmm. First of all, when we get born again, we ain't up here. We in this world, but we not up here.
We not of the world. Yeah. Peculiar people. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
People be trying to argue with you about it, and they ain't even in the word and don't even know they word.
Hey, so, come on, man. You know, like you said, I'll never forget my old man told me, this is one that stuck with me. He said, you know, for one, he said, you know, it ain't no need to argue with people and give them your pearls. You know what I'm saying? Like the swine, you know what I'm saying, eating your pearl. So then he said, you know, God was arguing with him one day. He said, man, you know, it's a lot of stuff that ain't even written in the Bible, you know what I'm saying, that happened. So my old man said, he told him, he said, have you read the 66 chapters that's in there? You know what I'm saying? Like, read the 66 chapters that's in there and don't worry about what was left out. Because the Bible tells us that so many things happened that they couldn't even record it all. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, but like you said, you know, it's like you worrying about this and that, but you're not worrying about the main thing. You know what I'm saying? You worrying about what's not here. Worry about what's there. You know,
exactly.
And, you know, and I thank God, like you say, because we've been through some things or whatnot, and the Bible tells us that some water and some plant, neither the water or the planet, you know what I'm saying, really don't mean nothing, because it's God who gives the increase. The only thing that we can do, because a lot of times we don't know if we're watering or planting. You know what I'm saying? So the only thing that we can do, and I pray that you continue doing it, and I'm going to try to continue doing it, is just do what God has called us to do.
Yeah, that's it.
Because like you said earlier, like we was talking earlier, this is going to be the only church that some people going to get.
Yeah.
Some people not going to listen, as renounced as T.D. Jakes is, and Keon Henderson, you know what I'm saying, as Bishop Creflo Dollar, all these big-time pastors, and, you know, they preach the word and everything, they not going to listen to them. Mm-hmm. They not going to tune in to a Bible study, you know what I'm saying? But because somebody like you and I who came from where they come from and this and that, if they can see Dee, then that ain't made a change, and she had talked about her life and she can change, man, God can change me too. Now, I know if that idiot Corey can change, I can change, you know what I'm saying? But you got to have the fortitude and the will to move when God tell you to move like Abraham did. God told him to go this place, didn't know where he was going, you know what I'm saying? And so sometimes that's how God did. He just say, go. You're like, well, I don't know where I'm going, you know what I'm saying? Just go. And so what I mean by go, sometimes he just tell us, just do. Don't worry about how this gonna happen. Don't worry about how that's gonna happen. Like, Lord, I need finances. I need just do. And that's what, you know what I'm saying? That's what a lot of you brothers, and I'm speaking it today, that's what a lot of you brothers and sisters today too. Hey, when God speaks to you and you humble yourself and he begins talking to you where you can hear clearly, and sometimes hearing clearly means I gotta put down the weed. I gotta put down the alcohol. I gotta turn off that music sometimes. Just to hear.
Right.
Cause I can't hear you if I'm steadily doing things constantly and repeatedly every day. So how can I get a chance to have a fullness of a conversation with God to hear what he say? Because the Bible say that he speaks in a soft whisper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how can I hear if I'm banging music all the time? How can I hear if my head ain't clear from alcohol or weed all the time? You know what I'm saying? So sometimes
our
you
lives,
just...
Our lives be too noisy. We have to sit down sometimes. And he say, be still and know I'm God. Because we have to hear. You can't hear. And some people, they don't want to face themselves. So they really like noise. So they can't hear. Mm-hmm. But the best thing is to go ahead and get yourself clean. Get yourself... Let them use you. Let them use you. It's going to cause breakdowns in what you've been learning or what you know. How you think you're supposed to do it. We got to let him cleanse us out, accept the blood of Jesus, let him cleanse our past and get ready for our future. And we know we got a good one because he told us that he prepared a good future for us. Mm-hmm. So we know that we got to walk with him forward. We can't dwell on the past. And when I say the past is yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
People don't really want to really believe it, but it's the truth. Each and every day is new to me. When I wake up in the morning, thank you for new mercies and new grace.
New mercy and new grace. Amen. Amen.
He said,
amen.
He said, I believe him. He said, every day is new. So every day you wake up, it's a new mercy and new grace.
That, you know.
That's it.
New mercy, new grace. Just be thankful. You know what I'm saying? Just being thankful. Thank you. Just say thank you for a new day. For a new day, for seeing a new day. You know, we get away from that too. You know, we just not thankful, you know, or grateful, like you say. But hey, this our time. Hey, D, so where can they follow you at? You know, your Instagram, Facebook page, anything, you know, where can they follow you at?
Right now, I'm at Facebook, Janetta Jones on my personal page. I haven't connected it to the Rosa Sharon page yet, so I'm just on Janetta Jones right now. I'm working on, matter of fact, it's my last live, and for the rest of the year, I'm getting all my technology stuff together. They've been pressing me, but you know, I'm gonna get all my handles together by the new year.
Okay.
And, hey, I gotta get my procrastinating spirit delivered from that too, because I don't really want to deal with technology, but I know this is what we gotta do.
Yeah.
But right now, I'm at Danetta Jones and Facebook at Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m.
Okay. Hey, so I appreciate you coming on the show. I really enjoyed your conversation. This is going to be a two-part series because, you know, once the spirit starts going, we just...
You was sharpening me too, iron sharpening iron, because you was bringing some stuff out that I didn't pay attention either.
So I really enjoyed you, and we're going to keep up. Hey, I'm going to call you so we can talk about that one thing that we was talking about earlier.
Okay.
All right, appreciate you. Hey, this your boy CJ Money Way. We out of here.